verses here this morning. Let's start in verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That's true. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world or anywhere else. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the service this morning. I pray that I would stay true to your word, that you would use me. Lord, control what I say and how I say it. And Lord, I pray your spirit would have that free course with your word to really challenge us and change us and draw us closer to you. And Lord, may you be glorified and honored in all that's said and done. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here who has never truly been converted, I pray that even this morning they would repent and place their faith in Christ. Lord, I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. It really, to me, it's hard to believe it is already 2025. I remember I arrived in Alaska 30 years ago, 1995. It would have been the fall of 95. So going on 30 years when I got up here to Alaska. I was 25 years old when I arrived. I had 3 children at the time. And all of them very small. I mean, the oldest of the 3 in 95 had just turned 4 a few months prior to us. Several months prior to us arriving here, about 6 months prior, had turned 4 years old. And I remember even thinking back then that 2025, up into this decade here we're in right now, just seems so far away. And really, if I was on at the time, I did not think we'd actually see this time frame. I really thought the Lord would return by the time we got here. And, you know, you think back to what was taking place in the 80s and 90s and whatnot, the 80s being the best decade, far better than the 70s. So let's put that in there now. And but what was taking place, even then it seemed like so much was setting up for the Lord's return. And now, even so much more so now, that we never even imagined would be taking place of what we're seeing, you know, come into play right now. Really is incredible. But it's just amazing that it's already 2025. And of course, a new year is always, it should be an exciting time. All right. One, our foundation is sure. The Lord knows who are His. We are God's. We are His. So our number one thought as we come into a new year always starts with the Lord. And so as a new year comes about, we usually, and I think these are all good things, we look back maybe what we accomplished in the previous year and then work to set new goals for the new year. That's wise to do. I think all of us should have something we want to accomplish, and hopefully you've already started on those, and if not, start today. You know, one of the most important goals I have set is I plan on gaining 20 pounds. I'm going to start working on that right away. It'll be difficult, but I think I'll manage. Actually, just the opposite, dropping about 15, which I started on Thursday grudgingly. Along with several other goals that I've already implemented, with trying to make the changes that are going to be needed starting on January 1st doesn't count. Always January 2nd. That's the day that counts for me. So some, we have those personal goals in regards to our health, and those are good things. Sometimes we'll set goals, maybe work or career related, and those are fine, and I think important to do. However, without a doubt, the most important goals, hands down, deal with your spiritual life. What you have sat down and thought about, what do I need to accomplish? Where do I need to be by the end of the year spiritually? So what are your spiritual goals? Goals that deal with strengthening your walk with God, being in a better position this time next year at 2026 than you are right now? What goals do you have in place for your life spiritually? Once you figure out what it is I need to work on, you've got to figure out, okay, now how do I go about this? What do I need to do? If this is where I want to be, it's just not magically going to happen because you thought of it in your head. You have to come up with a game plan of how to get there. What is it that you need to put in place? What is it maybe that you need to put in place or things removed or whatever it might be? You have to have a workable plan. For change to occur, this is true spiritually, really across the board. It always, always, the key is always starting with small changes in a workable plan to get there. Not the drastic ones. Those usually don't last for you. It's small incremental changes leading to what needs to take place in your life. Staying faithful to them. Building from there. Changing your habits. Habits that will benefit you spiritually. Deciding, I'd imagine many of you, maybe if you struggled with simple things from your devotions and whatnot, you probably say, no, I need to start it. If you'll notice, just the thought or the intention doesn't get the job done. You have to have a plan in place. This is what will happen. This is the time I will set my alarm. This is what I will do. And then you do it. You have to have a plan in place. Just make sure you set realistic goals. Don't jump so far ahead in excitement that you're going to set something that you cannot obtain. And of course, make sure you're at least setting something. I mean, I think it was Pastor Roach used to always quote Brother Robinson a lot. If you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. So this morning, ask yourself, where do I want to be spiritually 1 year from now? All right? That's a question that needs to be in your mind. Where do I want to be spiritually 1 year from now? That is to be followed up with the question, how can I get there? Is there something in your life that you know the Lord wants changed? It starts today. Perhaps it is faithfulness to being in God's Word, faithfulness to prayer, faithfulness to church. Maybe it's simply listening when you get here. Maybe it's passing out more tracts, giving the gospel out. Maybe it's the more weightier matters of the heart that the Lord really needs to change. Your motivations for why you do what you do. Or things like mercy and faith, as the Lord talked about in Matthew. I think we all would agree that when it comes to 2025, it needs to be a year where hopefully we can truly focus on God. Again, too often the beginning of a new year is filled with really good intentions, but it is not enough to have good intentions. Good intentions will never prevent evil actions. Sometimes we rest in the fact that we have good intentions, as if that's enough. Lord, you know my heart. You deceive your own heart. Lord, you know I would like to do this, but you never do anything to put it in place. As if you allow the good intention, which is genuine, I'm not questioning that, but you leave it there. Without ever coming to a place of denying self or implementing change. It is when you begin to make change effectual in your life, it makes a difference. It's not just, well, I want to do better. No, it's putting in a place a plan to do better. So I want to look at here this morning some things to try and be a help to help you accomplish spiritual goals for 2025. The verses that I read finish with some key statements that he was driving at. He really continues with the thought for several more verses. But he gives an illustration in the middle of this segment about in a master's house of these vessels that are gold and silver and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. And in the conclusion was this, that he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So that's what I want to drive at. Well, we need to be prepared for 2025. Spiritually, to be able to help you obtain those goals. There must be spiritual preparation in your life. Not only in regards to maybe New Year's resolutions that need to make, but for whatever it is that you're going to face in 2025. Spiritual preparation, number one, is needed. If there is one thing that I really need to get across is the need for you to be spiritually prepared for what you will face in 2025. The truth is, we don't know what we will face this year. You don't know what you will face personally this year. I mean, we can look back over 2024 and see things that maybe we thought that were coming, expected, prepared for, but there's many things that took place that none of us saw coming. I'm sure that's true as a church, and that's true of us in a personal way that all of us can think back upon. So are you prepared? We don't know what battles we're going to face. We don't know what blessings are going to come. We don't know what trials are going to happen. But I do know this, and it is true, battles are won before they're fought. Battles are won because you're in a place of preparation. You are ready. David, when it came to Goliath, knew he could defeat Goliath. He wasn't questioning. I mean, you've heard me say it over and over. To David, Goliath was not a giant. It was nothing. He knew. I mean, the guy believed by faith. This guy has to defeat God. It's not going to happen. Why was David, did that just hit him that moment? He was in a place where the Bible lays out for us. He was spiritually ready. So when the giant came, it wasn't even a battle. Let's take the same man. Let's jump forward several years in his life. Little did he know what he was going to face in one particular year when he was king, when he goes up on a rooftop, when he was not spiritually prepared. And he would fall into adultery. The same man. He wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared for the temptation that came. You have to be prepared. You have to be in a place where you're ready for the blessing, you're ready for the storm, you're ready for the trial. You're in a place where you are that vessel prepared for use. So what are things that we need to be in place to be spiritually prepared? Let's go over in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Soon we're going to get into this verse on Sunday mornings right here. But boy, there's some truth that is here. So the devil, there's a spiritual battle that is in place. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He knows where your weakness is. He knows where you could fail. And he plays you like a chessboard. waiting for that moment. Therefore, us to counteract that so that we can be prepared, it's recognizing your weakness. It's recognizing when your problems lie and then making change. Being sober-minded, being vigilant in those areas that you struggle with, in the areas that you often fail, in the areas that cause destruction, in the areas that hurt you. It's being sober-minded towards it. Being vigilant. Being prepared. We have an enemy. The devil is real. He will wait for that moment to try and overwhelm, whether it's with trial, whether it's with temptation, whether it's with discouragement, whether it's with persecution. He will seek to overwhelm. And as it says, within his scheme and his realm that the Lord allows him control of right now, walking about him in the course of all that is under his power and his control. Walking about. Waiting. Trying to study Mitch. What can I get him with? Because he'll study you. And then he'll wait for that moment. You know what wins the battle when the giant shows up? Being spiritually prepared. Being ready. There has to be, as 1 Peter 5:8 teaches us, a soberness, a vigilance about us, especially in the areas where we know that weakness exists. We also know from, really heading back to the pastoral, I'm not going to turn there, you also have got to have a foundation where you understand truth if you're going to be prepared. You've got to have a basis. I mean, we know there's every wind of doctrine. There's seducing spirits that are out there. We're living in the end times and people don't know what to believe. What is right and what is wrong. You have to get grounded in truth. It's one reason to determine this. I'm going to be faithful to church this year. Get yourself grounded in truth. I mean, the end times, we can see what's taking place all around us. Multitudes are devoured because they're not ready. They have no spiritual truth. They don't even know why they believe what they believe. And they're devoured. Let me just mention this briefly. I'll come back to it for a minute or two when I close. Spiritually, the thought just hits. The number one thing to be prepared for is death. We don't know when that day is. None of us are promised tomorrow. But make no mistake, death will find you. That day's coming. There's no more important spiritually that you better be ready for than is that day at death. It's the entire reason the Lord Jesus Christ came, was to prepare you for that day, to save you from the judgment to come. And for us Christians, we need to be prepared as well. Because think about that. It's true, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. But the moment that happens, you will face your Savior. You will face Him, the one who died for you. The weight, reality of that will hit you so hard in that moment. Of all that you let hinder your walk, of all that you put before Him, of all the idolatry that took place, of all that you were in front of about, when you put so much before Him, when you chose to live your life, when He redeemed you. We need to be ready for that day. And as our text points out, leading me into the second point here. The purpose of that text is that we be in a place ready to be used. We can look around us in Anchorage and everything that's happening in our own city right now. And the Lord has us here. Or the different ministries and things right within our church that God has in place for the perfecting of the saints. Are you in a place that God can use you? Let me briefly, this is from another sermon I have, but I want to go there right now. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. I think this is a very important principle in being spiritually prepared. 2 Kings chapter 3, excuse me, I said chapter 2, I think, but it is chapter 3. I'm not going to read all the events here that take place. It would be about 12, 13 verses, and they're all pretty big verses. So let me jump around a little bit. Verse 5, though, notice this. It says, "But it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel." Now, Moab at this time in world history had a very strong army in the region, the strongest. "And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel." The nation of Israel is divided at this time. You have the northern kingdom, Samaria, called Israel as well. The southern kingdom called Judah. And the northern kingdom, so Ahab is dead, Moab is rebelled, and the king of the northern kingdom of Israel is realized, I cannot defeat him. He numbered, and then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, the southern kingdom, and said, "Listen, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." So, again, he went to the southern king, even though they've been split. So we got a common enemy. I need your help. Ahab's, you know, he's gone. He's rebelled. The alliance that was in place with Ahab is gone. I need your help. He said, "I'll help you." And so they travel. They pick up a third army, the king of Edom, which is where they would travel through. That's why they pick him up. And so that army's in place. You have these three armies, and they're going to fight against the army of Moab. But they run into another problem. It says, they're in the wilderness of Edom. In verse 9, halfway through, it says, "And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them." They're in a drought. They're out of water. Dehydration is now an issue. Matter of fact, this has now become their biggest threat and not the army of Moab. The king of Israel, alas, he just obviously, he's not prepared spiritually. He's not where he should be. By no means is he where he should be in his life. So all of a sudden, difficult circumstances arise and he's done. He says, "Alas, the Lord hath called these three together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Well, I see what God said. He's just going to wipe us all out. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" That's always the answer. You inquire of God. And so Elisha was there, so they go to Elijah, and Elijah makes it known to the king of Israel. He said, "Listen, if Jehoshaphat wasn't with you, the king of Judah, I would have nothing to do with you. You get to the prophets of your father and your mother. You have turned from God. You have chosen Baal. You have chosen a wrong way." He said, "If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat here, I would not hear thee." So he does hear them. And it says in verse 15, "But now, bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And here was the counsel of the man of God. This is what he tells the three kings. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites also into your hand." So here it was, they go to the man of God. Jehoshaphat says, "Listen, we need to find the prophet of God. These are not a prophet close. Let's find out what the Lord's doing." So they go, they find Elijah, and Elijah said, "Here's the game plan." This is all the words he gives them. And really, it's almost depressing in a sense. I mean, he does give some great encouragement. The Lord's going to use this. He goes, "But this is what he wants you to do. You have your armies make this valley full of ditches. Get off your horses, put the bow and arrows down, put the spears down, get the shovels out, and start digging ditches." And he goes on, he's even more encouraging. He says, "By the way, when you're doing this, you're not going to see a cloud in the sky. You're not. You're not going to see a single cloud in the sky. And by the way, even though you would think of all those that would have questioned that, what are we doing? There's not a cloud yet. In this moment, God has it all under control. There's a reason there's not a cloud in the sky. There's a reason He has them doing what they're doing. Even though they don't understand it, I got news for you. God is the Creator. He doesn't have to explain everything to us. We trust Him. And so they go back and they agree. And they dig the ditches. Now, when I preach this, this is its own sermon. I'm not preaching it, by the way, but I always ask this question. Put yourself there with where you're at right now with your faith. That all of a sudden, Pastor McGovern comes and this is what we need to do. We're going to get shovels. I know it looks bad right now. We got the city council coming down. We're going to have riots. Nobody wants to come get us all of a sudden. We're going to dig ditches. How deep would your ditch be? If you're there and you hear your king come back and Jehoshaphat comes back to those of Judah, Jehu ran to Israel and he says, listen, we need to dig ditches. I just wonder the different levels and the size of the ditches. Not based upon strength, but based upon faith. So what happens in the story is they dig the ditches and miraculously every single one is filled with water. A miracle takes place. That solved the dehydration problem. But it also solved the problem of Moab, and they didn't even realize it. Because what happens is they're in the valley. They make the valley full of ditches. There's not been a cloud. There is no wind. There has been no rain. And Moab's army comes up after God has filled the ditches with water. He looks down, and they're like, man, is that water down there? And you know what they said? There's been no rain. There's been no wind. There's no clouds. That must be blood. And they concluded, they had a meeting up there with all their chiefs of staff of the army. These guys turned against each other. And so the Bible says they go down to take the spoil. They go down to take the spoils. They were no longer prepared for battle. And yet those armies were there waiting. They're ready. And they come down, of course, they just pounce them and they defeat Moab. Now listen to me. What happens if they don't dig the ditches? They die. It's over with. You have to dig your ditch. That's putting yourself in a place. That's being prepared. So you ask yourself, Lord, what ditches do I need to dig in this year? What is it that I need to do? What is it that I need to work on where I am prepared? Where I am ready for a battle that I'm trusting you? What are the ditches that you need to dig? Maybe for some, and these are just some simple ones, you need to ask God that. He knows exactly where you are. Maybe for some of you, it's something simple, simply being faithful to church. Where you determine, listen, I'm going to dig that ditch. I will be faithful. Listen, it is the local church. It's what the Lord Himself set up. Again, as I've already mentioned, Ephesians chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints. It's this, for our growth, for our maturity. Maybe for some, it simply is that devotion time, that time of prayer, that time of Bible. Be willing to establish that prayer time, to get into that, to pray without ceasing, to have a dedicated time to it, to seek the Lord, digging that ditch and digging that ditch. Listen, digging ditches isn't always fun. Again, I've mentioned it before, my stepfather had his own plumbing business. And then after my mom got married to him, I was a young teenager. Oh, I hated going with him because the only time he ever brought me wasn't to teach me anything. It was always because there was digging that needed to be done. So I would get there, the shovel would be given to me, and I had to do the digging. I mean, my hands would be just all, you know, calluses and whatnot all coming up from all that day. It's not enjoyable digging your ditch. But if you don't dig your ditch, you're not ready. You're not prepared. You see, we like it just the opposite. We want the Lord to bless us first before we dig our ditch. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll dig the ditch. It's not how that works. So when it comes to something, one of our key disciplines of prayer, seek to dig that ditch this next year. Look over in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Determine you're going to be faithful. Lord, I'll be faithful to church. Or maybe it's, Lord, I'll be faithful and I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to be in prayer. I can go to several different places for this. Many places in Psalm 19, Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to go to Psalm 1 and that's it. It talks about the blessed man here in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth meditate day and night. As a result, what happens? Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The importance of the Word of God in your life. Of it putting you to a place where you're spiritually prepared. You have to dig your ditch at it. And it's not just checking your box. It's reading it to grow. It's reading it to learn. Lord, what would you have? To read it, to study it, as 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us. Maybe this year you need to determine, listen, I'm going to go back to memorizing Scripture. And not memorizing so you can come up at testimony time and tell us all how many verses you memorized. Keep that to yourself. Make this about you and the Lord. Keep the motivation right. But maybe it's just saying, Lord, every week I'll memorize one verse. Keeping it with you. Why would I want to do that? Because he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why would I do that? That's why. Why would I do that? Because there's an adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's why you should want to do that. Because the Christian life isn't a game. Let me cover one more ditch here that we're losing sight of in our day. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Here's the benefit of all this. "I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Boy, these walls of separation are being broken down right now. But the text is still there. It's there for a reason, for us. There's a reason why the doctrine of separation is important. Many times, in the name of building bridges that we claim it's about evangelizing the lost, many times that is simply about you fulfilling your own flesh. But we have been set apart for the Lord. And the separation, really, it's all about, going back to 2 Timothy 2, being a place where God can use us. Digging that ditch. Lord, I will be faithful. Lord, I will listen. I will take it serious when I pray. I will take it serious when I read. Lord, now I will try and keep myself pure in a place where you can use. So for this year, we need to dig some ditches. Ask the Lord what those ditches are for your life. And in our text, we saw some helps they had. One, they took the counsel of the man of God. The people listened to Elijah. They dug the ditches and it worked. This one was big. They dug those ditches in the midst of that sun while they were dehydrated, not knowing at what point, at any moment, the army of Moab could have come in.
But they had to trust the Lord and not look at the circumstances and dig the ditch. You might be digging your ditch and saying, I'm not seeing nothing. I'm not seeing nothing. Don't stop digging. You trust the Lord. You do what's right. You do what's right. You do what's right. You trust Him. Keep digging. I don't have time to go there. Matter of fact, I did a whole series on it last year, 2 years ago. I don't know when it is. I'm not even going to turn there right now. But another thing that needs to be in place for us to be ready for 2025. Now you need to dig some ditches, but you need the armor of God. You do. You need that helmet of salvation. You need it. You need the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Your loins girt about with truth. The shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you've forgotten about that series or you haven't listened, I would suggest you simply go to a church's website or any of our social media aspects there and pull that up and listen to it. You need the armor of God. The spiritual battle is real. And I'm telling you, it's like at times we have our heads buried in relation to it, not realizing all that is actually taking place. Listen, I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do in 2025. Maybe this is the year the Lord comes back. I was praying this morning and thinking about that. I'm like, I'm good with that. I've heard other preachers blast that, say, oh yeah, you just want the world to go to hell. No, not at all. You need to check yourself and read the Bible a little bit. It is our hope. It is. But just as we're going through Romans 8 to be done with this body, this flesh, to be in the presence of the Lord, to be in a place where I can give Him perfect glory and honor that He deserves. I don't know what's coming this year, but I know this. I want to be used of God. I want to be in a place where He can use me and not set me aside. Are you in that place? With heads bowed and eyes closed.